Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll hear about a report in The Atlantic that explores a blind spot in how we perceive how our pets actually feel. Are we misjudging the effectiveness of the care we give them based on our own personal human biases? Then we'll get some tips on traveling with our pets and have some early Christmas fun. So we will start with that article in The Atlantic, A Crucial Blind Spot in Veterinary Medicine. The placebo effect shows up in pets too, but these treatments are fooling owners, not their animals. Written by Emily Anthes and published November 2019 in The Atlantic. In 2003, a team of researchers from several American universities launched a small clinical trial, the results of which should not have been a surprise. Of the patients taking the active drug and Of the patients taking the active drug intended to reduce epileptic seizures, 86% saw their seizure frequency fall. So did 79% of the patients that received a sham treatment or a placebo. It seemed like a classic example of the placebo effect, with one notable difference. The pets were dogs. As I did these placebo-controlled studies and I was evaluating data, I was like, oh, look, these dogs are getting better on the placebo, says Karen Munana, a veterinary neurologist at North Carolina State University, who co-authored the study. That response had never been reported for epilepsy treatments in dogs before, she says. At the time, double-blind placebo-controlled trials, the gold standard for evaluating new medical treatments, were relatively uncommon in veterinary medicine. But if Munana and her colleagues hadn't done one, they would have misjudged how well the drug levetiracetam worked. If I had not had the placebo arm of the study, I would have said that this drug was effective, she said. While the placebo effect is a well-established phenomenon in human patients, it's an underappreciated one in veterinary medicine, and the particular way it plays out in veterinary care highlights how unconscious cognitive biases can mislead humans when we care for other species. Even when pet owners are determined to provide first-rate care for the animal they love, these blind spots can undermine their best efforts. The stories that we tell about our pets often aren't really reflecting what's happening to their bodies, says Brennan McKenzie, a veterinarian and the author of Skept Vet, a blog dedicated to evidence-based veterinary medicine. Doctors have long observed that mock medical treatments such as sugar pills and saline injections make many sick people feel better. Scientists believe that these improvements can be partially explained by the power of expectations. Truly believing that a pill will alleviate pain or nausea, for instance, may in fact make that discomfort subside. Though much remains mysterious about animal minds, it seems unlikely the pets are bringing these kinds of beliefs into the veterinary clinic. I don't think our patients have an idea about their disease that we can affect by saying, here's a therapy that can make you feel better, McKenzie says. And yet a number of studies of cats, dogs, and horses have found that dummy drugs seem to help ailing animals get back on their furry feet. A variety of mechanisms could explain these observations, some of which might also play a role in the human placebo response. One possibility is simple regression to the mean. The animals could be getting better independently of any medical intervention. Chronic diseases such as epilepsy tend to wax and wane, and pet owners might be more likely to enroll their dogs in a clinical trial or try new treatments when the seizures are particularly bad. In many of those cases, the seizures might be bound to improve on their own, simply as part of the natural course of the disease. Studies also show that people often change their behavior when they know they're being observed. This so-called Hawthorne effect could help explain Munana's findings. All the dogs in her study were on at least one anti-seizure medication in addition to levetiracetam, and pet owners might be more diligent about adhering to these drug regimens when their dogs are enrolled in a trial. Because they are in a study and the owners know that their dogs are being scrutinized and the records are being scrutinized, maybe they're more likely to give the medications on a more regular basis, Munana says. Animals in clinical trials might also receive better, more attentive veterinary care than they otherwise would. Some evidence suggests that gentle contact with humans may itself be therapeutic for certain creatures, including dogs and horses. And in some instances, classical conditioning could be at work. For example, rats that have regularly been getting insulin injections will still experience blood sugar changes if they suddenly start receiving saline injections instead. But in many cases, the most likely explanation is what's known as the caregiver placebo effect, or placebo effect by proxy. In veterinary medicine, patients can't speak for themselves. They can't tell their doctors where they hurt, or even if they do. Instead, veterinarians have to rely on their own observations and judgments, as well as those of the animal's owners, to infer how their patients are faring. In many studies of canine epilepsy, including Monana's, researchers depend on the dog's owners to keep track of the animal's seizures. In most cases, it's obvious when the dog is seizing. But sometimes owners have to make sense of more ambiguous signs and symptoms. For instance, some dogs drool when they seize, and an owner who discovers a spot of saliva on the floor has to decide whether it's evidence of an unobserved seizure. Owners who believe that their dogs are on an effective treatment regimen may be less likely to come to that conclusion. So it's not pets that placebos are fooling, but humans. When you give a treatment, there's an expectation that the treatment's going to be beneficial, and there's a desire that my patient or my pet gets better. You want that to happen, says Michael Konzimius, a veterinarian surgeon at the University of Minnesota. The caregiver placebo effect, which has also been observed in studies in children, illustrates how unconscious expectations and desires can be deceptive, even for invested onlookers. And it could lead caregivers to perceive improvements in their pet's health that don't line up with objective reality. In one FDA-approved trial of an anti-inflammatory for dogs with arthritis, researchers used both subjective and objective measures to evaluate the dog's limb function, in addition to asking pet owners and veterinarians to assess the dog's degree of lameness at regular intervals. Over the course of the study, they also used force platforms to determine how much weight the dogs were putting on each limb as they walked. If a dog begins to put more weight on an arthritic leg, it's a sign that the pup's pain has diminished. When Konzimius took a close look at the dogs in the placebo group, he found that owners and veterinarians frequently reported that the animals had improved, even when the gait analysis suggested otherwise. Even if we both agree that the patient's better, we're not the patient, he says. So we have to be willing to set our opinions aside and actually look at other data, hopefully objective data, when it's available. The desire to see pets improve can be so strong that it blinds people to the animal's discomfort. Mackenzie recalls seeing a Rottweiler with osteosarcoma, a cancer of the bone, in one of his legs. It was clear to Mackenzie that the dog was in profound pain. He wouldn't put his paw on the ground, and he whimpered when the vet touched it. But when he offered to prescribe a painkiller, the dog's owner demurred. She said she was treating her dog with homeopathic pain remedies, and she was sure they were working. She was absolutely convinced that her dog was not in pain, said Mackenzie, who is also the author of a new book on the evidence or lack thereof behind alternative veterinary remedies. Indeed, that's what makes the caregiver placebo effect so pernicious. Even though the treatments are inert, the traditional placebo response does in fact make patients themselves feel better. The caregiver placebo effect, however, simply assuages our own anxiety and discomfort while the patients, our pets, continue to suffer. The phenomenon could help explain the rising popularity of alternative veterinary therapies from acupuncture to CBD, but it might also be skewing assessments of more conventional treatments. The regulation of veterinary medicines is fairly loose, Mackenzie says, and the market for them relatively small. So pharmaceutical companies have little financial incentive to conduct placebo-controlled trials, which are time-consuming and expensive when animals are the intended patients. As a result, relatively few veterinary studies have historically included a placebo group, which means that many of the mainstream treatments on offer today may be less effective than pet owners have been led to believe. In general, veterinary trials also tend to be smaller and of lower quality than human ones, researchers have found. Norms and practices are finally beginning to change, and more veterinarians are coming to embrace the precepts of evidence-based medicine. Even so, Mackenzie would like vets to be more transparent about how much scientific evidence exists or doesn't to support the remedies they're recommending and to warn their clients about how human assumptions can sometimes lead us astray. That's not always an easy conversation. We're going to get resistance from people because it makes them feel like their personal experiences aren't validated, he says. I always feel like it's worth saying when I'm talking to people about placebo effects. I'm not here to say that you're lying or that you're stupid, that you're just not paying attention to your pet. I make the same exact mistakes, and I do this for a living. The caregiver placebo effect may be inconvenient, but it's also a normal and natural consequence of human psychology. And in some ways, it's a testament to how much people care about their pets and to how desperately that we want to believe that the things we do for them actually make their lives better. The more strongly motivated you are to see something, Mackenzie says, the more likely you are to see it. Next, are you traveling during the holiday season? Would you be comforted by a furry presence as you navigate your way through a hectic airport? More and more airports now are regularly employing comfort animals for just that purpose. Most of them tend to be dogs, but at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, there is a new addition to the comfort crew. Deanna Weniger filed this report November 2019 with the TwinCities.com Pioneer Press. If maneuvering through airports and catching connecting flights is a hair-raising experience for you, the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport has a new member whose job is perfect for calming stress. Meet Stitches, an 11-year-old Tabico cat, a mixture of calico and tabby, that will be on hand once a week offering free comfort therapy to those passing through Terminal 1. She's the first of her kind at MSP. Stitches and her owner, Nikki Christopher, join the 96 animal ambassador teams at the airport, all of which are dogs. The program, which started in 2015, is part of Travelers Assistance, administered by Airport Foundation MSP, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing the experience of frazzled travelers. Stitches comes with an impressive resume. She's a member of the local chapter of North Star Therapy Animals and has been a therapy cat for the past 3 years, registered through Pet Partners. She has experience visiting nursing homes and welcomes students to Christopher's Harp and Piano Home Studio. Stitches greets every student at the door, Christopher said. The 13-pound tabby can be found lounging in her stroller once a week in the North Rotunda at the entrance to Concourse C. The stroller carries a Pet Me sign, and Stitches even has her own calling cards. Fans responded on Twitter by posting their own pictures of Stitches and leaving comments such as, "Finally, a kitty." Some said they would be looking for her on Black Friday, one of the biggest travel days of the year. Others requested she be moved closer to TSA check-in lines. When she's not working, Stitches enjoys watching Law & Order, Special Victims Unit at home, her owner said. She loves Ice-T's voice, he said. MSP's Animal Ambassador Program continues to grow with 37 new therapy animals coming on board since January. Among the 70-plus U.S. airports with therapy animal programs, MSP's program is the third largest, just behind Los Angeles Airport with 115 teams and Denver Airport with 109 teams. Next, a friend of mine wanted to know, can dogs sense bad people? Well, according to Maria Hackey, dogs can sense bad people, science confirms. And this was updated June 21st of 2019. Dog is man's best friend. We all know that. But being perfect companions and loyal friends to people are not the only qualities these furry fellows possess. It has been long known that dogs can even recognize a bad person. However, up to a few years ago, this idea was confirmed only by dog owners and dog lovers, until a study from 2014 scientifically proved this to be true. The fact is that dogs have very well-developed senses and can feel if you're happy, worried, or angry. But according to the study, they can also sense if someone is rather bad-tempered, according to specific hints given by the person. The study that was published in the journal Animal Cognition, it was carried out by the team of Akiko Takaoka of Kyoto University in Japan and included a group of 34 dogs. They participated in an experiment with three rounds. In the first round, dogs were pointed to a container full of food. In the second round, they were pointed to a container that was actually empty. The third round was very familiar to the first one, but the interesting part was that in this third round, fewer dogs reacted to the hints. After these experiments, a new person was asked to repeat the first round. This time, the dogs trusted the new experimenter and followed the signal. Dogs have more sophisticated social intelligence than we thought. This social intelligence evolves selectively in their long life history with humans, Takaoka said. And according to the conclusions of the study, these results suggest that not only dogs are highly skilled at understanding human pointing gestures, but also they make inferences about the reliability of a human who presents cues and consequently modifies their behavior flexibly depending on the inference. Furthermore, this is not the only research confirming that dogs can tell when someone is mean. A study published in Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Review claims that dogs know when someone is behaving badly with their owners. That discovery was made after the researchers conducted the following experiment. They made a few dog owners ask other people for help while their dogs watched on. Each dog owner pretended to try and fail to open a container. Then he or she had to ask two researchers to help out. Every time, one of the scientists stood passively while the other tried to help the owner to open the container, or refused to help at all. After that, both researchers would give a treat to the dog. When one of the scientists helped while the other stood passively, the dogs would take a treat from both of the researchers. In other words, they didn't have a preference for the researcher who helped their owner. But the most interesting discovery was that the dogs would actually refuse to take a treat from the researchers who didn't help their owners. The pooches would, however, take the treat given by the scientist who stood passively during the experiment. So our furry buddies really can understand when someone is being mean, and that is another reason for earning the title Man's Best Friend. Next, Why Cats and Dogs Are Excited About Christmas by Laura Cross at Vet Street. We can come up with a million reasons we think this is the best time of year. To name a few, Christmas carols, gorgeous and tacky light displays, Santa, elves, Rudolph, classic holiday movies, presents, and really cheesy TV specials. But what about cats and dogs? Do they even care or know it's Christmas? We'd like to think they do. Sure, they probably don't understand why we always have All I Want for Christmas Is You on repeat and don't really get why we have to go shopping so much. But surely there are some things about the holiday season that they look forward to every year. Here are some reasons we think pets are just as excited for Christmas as you are. First, it might snow. The holiday season coincides with the beginning of winter, so there is a fairly good chance it will snow in many parts of the country. Cats are often blasé about all forms of precipitation, but there are certain dog breeds that have been waiting all year for the first few flakes to hit the ground. There are boxes everywhere. Forget luxurious or trendy gifts. What cats, and perhaps some dogs, can't wait to see under the tree are all the cardboard boxes. And with the growing popularity of online shopping, the holiday season has never been better for cardboard-loving animals. So bring on the shipments of Amazon and Zappos. Their boxes are the gifts that keep on giving. They're also excited because they get a lot of attention. Christmas time means there are more people around to lavish pets with love and affection. Of course, this could also be a reason for your cat or dog to hate the holiday season. Some pets aren't fans of strangers or guests, and that's understandable. But for pets who live for attention, this time of year is a treat. Presents. Who doesn't love presents? Cats and dogs appreciate a new bowl, or a collar. They'll gladly accept a trendy new product that they never knew they needed, like us. And if you have the funds to splurge on a $999 bed, they simply can't say no. But if you're in a bind, well, there's always the cardboard box. Quality time with the family. Among the best and most important things about Christmas is spending time with loved ones. So as you celebrate the season, don't forget to sneak in some QT with your furry family member, because really, that's what the holidays are all about. From Animal Friends Pet Insurance, Elena Barnard has these six reasons to love the holidays with pets. We love our pets 365 days a year, but there's something magical about Christmas time that makes us want to be with those who are special to us. Here are our top six reasons we love Christmas with pets. First, it's a great excuse to buy them presents. Many pet owners need no excuse to buy gifts for their pets year-round, but if your pet has a slightly careworn, cuddly toy or a seriously frayed scratching post, you have the perfect reason not to only buy a brand spanking new one, but to wrap it up beautifully, too. Just remember to wrap it in a pet-safe way by excluding any ribbons or small parts that can be swallowed. Christmas baking is so much fun. That is the second reason. Bake them something yummy and pet-safe as a holiday treat. It's a really great way to do something special for your pet in a healthy way. Time off together. Christmas means spending quality time with our loved ones, including our pets. Walking in a winter wonderland. Watching pets interact with the world outside is always incredibly rewarding and fun. If you've ever watched a puppy play in the snow for the first time or a cat paw at a frosty branch, you are sure to be filled with seasonal joy. Sending Christmas cards. Every Christmas, I find myself struggling to think of what to write in my Christmas cards to friends and family. Until last year, I hit upon the idea of sending cards from my pets. It's a fun, charming way to give those close to you an update in a more original way. And it's a great way to justify including adorable photos of your pets. If you want to help an animal charity this Christmas, you can choose to buy one of the many charity Christmas cards on the market. And sharing the love. Christmas is a time for giving good cheer and great company. And what greater company is there than an adoring pet, as we've already said? And finally, in the news, as seen on HuffPost, Labrador is sworn in at state attorney's office as emotional support dog. Hattie, age 2, will work with children as well as people with mental health issues who have been the victims of assault. This is Chicago from Associated Press, U.S. News, in November 2019. It was a real dog of a ceremony this week during a swearing-in at the state's attorney's office in Chicago. The newly sworn-in worker is a Labrador retriever named Hattie. The 2-year-old will be on a 9-to-5 human schedule, but she's been asked to work like a dog, to just to do what comes naturally to most dogs, show affection. Her job is to ease the strain of criminal proceedings on young children and those with mental health issues who have been victims of assault. She'll handle up to 200 cases annually. Hattie is the office's first emotional support dog and was trained partly by inmates. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox presided over Tuesday's swearing-in. Hattie stood on her hind legs over a table and placed her paw across a law book as an oath was administered. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.